So here is how this interacts with our second pillar of our vision for the six here. We want to be a confident community, a community that's so confident in this word that we can discover and we can recreate and we can be up there, bring our best selves to what we hear, interact with it, get involved, get engaged to make a difference. We've inherited the stories of Jesus from his first followers 2,000 years ago. We've inherited the poems and the songs and the prophecies of faith and wisdom in this book. And as we grow in this good big story of God's grace, we can run with it, we can explore, we can discover, we can contribute, we can make a difference. Confident of who we are, we can go out and make a difference in our world. We can bring this confidence into the world. So last week, you may remember we were in the book of Acts, and if you remember the story that Ruth reminded us of, we left Peter and Rhoda, this surprised servant girl, standing outside the house when the power of God answered a prayer in this extraordinary way. And today in the book of Acts, we're staying with it. The camera focus is skipping to another group of followers of Jesus, Paul and Barnabas and their companions. And again, they don't know how any of these conversations that we're about to explore are going to turn out, but they are so confident, so secure in what God has given them in this good big story of God that they are ready for transformation to happen. So they're ready to step up and get involved. And to me, this reading looks a bit like a tap jam. Could you open up your Bibles? There's one near you on the chairs, and if there isn't, there's probably one on your phone. And if you can't see one near you, there might be one on a chair near you. Grab a Bible, turn it to Acts chapter 13. It's on page 1107. I'm going to have a really brief story so far before Nathaniel is then going to come up. Thanks, Nathaniel, and read us our passage for tonight. So Acts chapter 13, if you see at verse 15, where is that? Like halfway down, page 1107. A reading is opened up, and then Paul jumps in with his part in this reading that's opened up. He weaves his way through the book of Genesis, through Exodus, through the history of God's people, into Judges, the kings, the story of David, and he's reminding this room that he's in of God's plan and his faithfulness. Verse 23, he then brings it bang up to date to their day, weaving something new into the good big story that they all know about, weaving the story of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and helping the room to see, here's where these threads that you have known get woven together and come together into this glorious new thing. And he's quoting Psalms and he's quoting prophets. And then he's saying, this is why this is the best news for us today. And that's where Nathaniel is going to take over reading from verse 38. So Nathaniel, do you want to come up? Thank you.
Acts 13, 38 to 49. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost a whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of the Lord to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. Now we turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God, and thanks be to Nathaniel for reading. Thank you. So, two things that we're just going to look at from what Paul and Barnabas confidently know, because they're confidently rooted in the good big story of God, and that we can confidently know and confidently share. It's good and it's news. Those two things. It's good and it's news. It's good because it points us towards a good, good God. And it's news because it's different from the other things that we hear about in this world. So first, it's good. If you look at your Bibles, and we're going to just run through some of the good news that Paul finds here in as he describes the way God has been interacting with people throughout all of time. Verse 32. Who's got verse 32 first? Da, da, da. I can't find it on the page. There it is. We tell you the good news. Tells us that it is good. What God has promised our Father, he's fulfilled for us. First piece of good news. God is faithful. God is faithful. And as Paul has discovered, it's not just that he's not just quoting like a proof text. He's not just quoting like a verse that he's plucked out of the pages of Scripture. He's just told the whole story of God's interaction with people throughout the whole of history. And so Paul is just able to share with such confidence, this God is faithful. He's seen it through the whole of the story of how God has been involved in the world. Now, in this world that we're in, what on earth can we depend on? We have good and bad relationships. We have good and bad experiences with money. We have pandemics. We have twists in the road that we weren't expecting. A year and 3 months ago, I'd have said you can depend on the fact that Cairns down here at the end of the road will be open 365 days a year. You'll always be able to get whatever you need in Cairns. A year and 3 months ago, I'd have confidently said that on any given Sunday, you'll be able to find some people gathering in here to pray and worship. Turns out I was wrong. A year and 3 months ago, some of us might have been able to say one way or another, I'm expected to be at school or at work throughout weekdays. I'm expected to be somewhere. Again, we might look back and go, I thought I could depend on that. Turns out that wasn't quite right. But what Paul knows and what he can share confidently, because he's so rooted in this story, is that God is faithful. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. It's good news. Verse 38, another piece of good news. Through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. There's forgiveness in Jesus. This is good news. What can we do with our rubbish? What can we do with our shame? What we can do with anything that we regret? Where can I go with the worst thing that I ever did? We can go to Jesus. I can go to Jesus. Not very long before the pandemic, somebody came to the church office, and I'd never met him before, but the reason he came to the church office was because he'd done something that he just regretted so much, and he didn't know what to do with it. He told me that he couldn't go to his friends or family because his friends or his friends and family would either reject him, which he was terrified of, or that they'd say, oh, no, mate, it's not that bad, when he knew that it was. So he's like, I can't go to my friends and family because they'll either just tell me comforting lies that I don't want to hear, or they'll reject me. He had been alone for the weekend, and he said he'd poured away all the alcohol in his house because he's like, I don't want to take it there. I know I could take my shame, my regret there, but I don't want to do that. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this. Where do I go? He wasn't a person of faith, but something in him had said, I'm going to go to a church. I'm going to go to a church. There's somewhere to go with the worst parts of ourselves, or rather there's someone we can go to with anything we really regret. Such good news, because we know that Jesus will not reject us ever. Jesus will never reject us. But nor will he say, oh, no, mate, it doesn't really matter. He'll say, you know what? I will take onto myself the worst thing you've ever done, and I will put it to death so that you can live. It's such good news. There's forgiveness of sins in Jesus. I was able to say to this guy, I'm not going to point you to a formula for this. I'm going to point you to a person. I'm going to point you to a person. It's such good news. And Paul knew it. And he knew it not just because of one verse that he plucked out of nowhere. He knew it because he was immersed in this good, big story of God's grace and mercy. It's good. It's good. God is faithful and Jesus says forgiveness. One more piece of good news. Verse 43, God is gracious. He said, continue in the grace of God. What does grace mean? For me, I think of it as like a spacious place. Have you ever been in a conversation or in a circumstance where it feels like you're like tiptoeing through a minefield and you feel like there's something that might explode of judgment, or somebody might laugh at you, or somebody might mock you, or somebody might cut you down? Have you ever felt that you've been in that environment? Have you ever felt like social media, that can be a bit like that kind of environment? The grace of God is the opposite of that. It's a spacious place. It's like a field rather than a minefield of judgment waiting for an explosion. The grace of God is a field of exploration, where if we make a misstep, if we tread off the path, we're met with grace and with forgiveness and kindness and guidance. That's the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. So Paul has found good news, and he's confident in it, and he's growing in it, and he's able to just kind of riff off whatever he comes across. He's able to share in this room this good news because he's really rooted in it. He's really confident in it, and that's what we want for this community. We want to be rooted in this good news. That's the one thing. Thank you, Ruth. It's good. And the second thing, it's news. It's news. What I mean by that is that it's different from other things they hear. Did you notice, as Nathaniel was reading, he gets pushback? It's not what everybody wants to hear. It sounds like if we were just, you know, if everybody just was like, oh yeah, sure, that sounds great. But the truth is this speaks against something. This is proclaiming something which is different to what the world says. The people that Paul is speaking to, and we hear other stories. There are other stories out here in the world. Other tugs at our hearts and minds and lives and identities. It's not like there's God's story and then everywhere else is kind of a neutral space where we're kind of just totally free to make up our own minds. We're in a place where we're influenced. The world is influenced, is full of influences. Amazon Prime trains our lives in the direction of impatience. No judgment here, you know, we've all had those moments. So, but Amazon Prime trains us, you know, it trains our hearts and minds. Advertising trains our hearts and minds and our lives in the direction of envy. Instagram, and I am a fan of Instagram, so I'm not like condemning it, but it trains our desires maybe in comparison. So we're shaped by stories. We're shaped by stories in the world. I'm told that Gen Z, I never quite know what these ages these refer to, but let me tell you what it said on the website I was looking at. Generation Z, the 16 to 22-year-olds spend just under 3 hours a day on social media. Millennials, 23 to 36, apparently, spend just over 2.5 days on social media. And that might not be true for you, and I'm not here to say that's all wrong or like condemning any of that, but the truth is we're all in environments where we're being shaped by stories. And it's shaping us. These things are shaping us. Studies used to say that millennials were the most anxious generation in history, and then Generation Z came along and knocked millennials off the top spots. So here's the thing. The stories that we absorb shape our hearts and our minds and our lives and our desires and our fears and our hopes. But this story, the story that Paul was sharing, is full of good news. It's a gracious story. It's a grace-filled story. This is a spacious place to explore, where mistakes and missteps are met by kindness and forgiveness, where the worst thing that we've ever done doesn't define us, where we can count on a person to go to, a person who's always got our back and who is faithful to his promises. God is faithful, there's forgiveness, there's grace. This is a story that shapes our lives in confidence, and it is opposed by other stories. So we want to be a community where this kind of roots us, this defines us. We'll hear other stories in the world, but we want to be shaped by this good, gracious, kind, confident story. Just a couple of notes to end with. And this kind of, again, just goes on, says more about why we want to root ourselves in this good, big story of God's grace here. Firstly, this has been and is misused, these words. People can pick out verses and misuse them. I was reading about something just blasphemous, which was published in the 19th century, that was known as the Slave Bible. So the publishers or plantation owners edited out a whole lot of this. They edited out the story of Moses leading his people to freedom. They edited out the whole book of Revelation and its promise of a new heaven and a new earth. They edited out passages that say things like, there is no Jew or Greek or slave or free. In fact, by the time they'd finished editing it, only 10% of the Old Testament was left and about half of the New Testament. It shows, for a start, that the whole text is explosively liberating. That's why the plantation owners cut it out. They didn't want them to read half of it. I mean, to be honest, I don't know which of the bits of the New Testament they left in, because I think that's, you know, that's quite a lot, it's like explosively liberating. But of course, it's a radical misuse of this text. People misuse it. But how do we counteract that as a community? We counteract it by immersing ourselves in it, by being ready to challenge a preacher, by being ready to read ourselves and say, well, what was she saying? Can I just check back? Can I do my reading this week and say, you know, where was that coming from? Was Jenny telling the truth? Was she rooted in the good big story? We can counteract misuse when we're immersed in it, immersed in this text ourselves, when we're confident. And secondly, to be honest, it's sometimes hard to read. Am I alone in that? And sometimes finding it a little bit challenging to read. Thanks, Meg. Yeah, okay. It can be hard to read, but here's the thing. We are a community. We're a community of exploration. We've got Bibles, we've got friends, we've got groups, we've got notes to help us on our way. A few months ago in the morning service, some ideas were shared, which I think we're going to share afterwards, of ways to help us get into the Bible, ways to help us read it together. In a moment, we're just going to thank and pray for those who are involved in midweek groups. We've got a number of midweek groups. If you're not involved in one at the moment, we'd love to link you into a midweek group that's right for your age and stage to help you read this book, to help you immerse yourself, encourage one another. And we want to invest in the gifts of those who go, you know, I want to know more about this. I want to know more. So here's what we're going to do now. We are going to, as we did last week, we want to use these 4 weeks as kind of launch pads for our journey within this service. And one of the ways in which we do that is to pray for those who have a particular call or particular kind of stirring to get involved with some of the aspects of this service. Last week, we prayed for those who have a particular call to pray, who want to kind of be expanded in that gift. And I'd love today to pray as a community for those who want to get stuck into this word more, who want to, it might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be years and years away, but say, you know, at one point, I want to be sharing this, I want to be teaching it, I want to be prophesying from it, I want to be rooted in it. So, can I ask you to stand up, as we did last week, if you're able? And we can do some other bits of responding after this, but just right now. Those around these hands, would you reach out to someone near you and pray for them? Pray that their heart and their mind would be expanded. Pray they'd be given wisdom. Maybe we'll have some music in the background. We're just going to pray out loud all at once. Pray for someone near you that we would all grow confident, rooted in this good news that we have. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that these folks. I love the verse in Isaiah that says that my word will not return to be empty, but will accomplish the purposes that I've sent it for. And I pray that for each hand up and all of our hearts, that the word that you've given us would not return, Lord, to you empty, but would accomplish purposes in each of these lives through this service, that it would accomplish purposes of freedom and liberation, that it would accomplish purposes of healing, that it would accomplish purposes of direction and guidance, that we'd all know such confidence in your word, in the good big story that you've called us into, that we would know the part we have to play. I pray that you would direct us. I pray that you'd raise callings in this community directed by your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are more than able to be at work in all our hearts and minds and lives. We thank you. We bless you.